Good evening. Welcome to the Buck Stops here. I'm Vishnu Shom. On the program this evening, the Supreme Court upholds criminal defamation laws in the country. In other words, those found guilty of criminal defamation, and it's not civil a civil lawsuit we are talking about, you could be jailed for up to 2 years. That is the current law. It stands. The Supreme Court has reaffirmed it. The Supreme Court has made it clear that the right to life includes the right to reputation. Today's judgment comes as a setback for the BJP Subramanian Swamy, Arvind Kejriwal and Rahul Gandhi, bitter political rivals united by a common cause. They all wanted the Supreme Court to remove criminal defamation laws, except that it didn't happen. And they may now have to face trial in defamation cases that they face.
Bitter rivals Subramaniam Swamy, Rahul Gandhi and Arvind Kejriwal, ironically united by defeat in their battle to get the criminal defamation laws struck down. The Supreme Court today upheld the validity of the laws, rejecting their argument that they are being misused to gag political rivals. The defamation laws were also challenged by other politicians and journalists in separate petitions. The court agreed with the stand of the centre and states that the laws must be retained as a deterrent. Otherwise, in the age of social media, one's reputation can be damaged within a minute, and once damaged, it can't be salvaged easily, and it will also lead to anarchy. The court said right to life includes right to reputation. It is difficult to say that criminal defamation has a chilling effect on freedom of speech and expression, but warned magistrates to be careful while issuing summons in such cases. The Jayalalitha government has filed around 100 cases against politicians and media houses, including 6 against Subramaniam Swamy for his attacks on the AIADMK chief. Rahul Gandhi faces a case for holding RSS responsible for the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi. Delhi CM Arvind Kejriwal faces a large number of cases, including the ones filed by BJP leaders Jaitley, Nitin Gadkari and Congress leader Kapil Sibal's son Amit Sibal.
First of all, I'm not suffering. I won every defamation case that has ever been filed on me. From my personal point of view, it's an 80% success. But I can always now go again to a constitutional bench and challenge the same thing again.
It is an absurdity. This is a colonial dinosaur. It had to go, and the judgment is a disaster. Criminal defamation has become a playground for politicians and public men.
Now these three leaders and others will have to fight their cases, though the court has given them 8 weeks to challenge the suits in a high court.
The top court tried to strike a balance between freedom of speech and individuals' right to reputation. But on the ground, it may encourage those in power to slap defamation cases against their political rivals. In New Delhi, with Sunil Prabhu, Arunachalam Vaidyanathan, NDTV.
All right, the freedom of speech versus the right of having a reputation, that's what the Supreme Court says, is also very, very primary in this particular issue. Joining us now to debate this, Dr. Subramaniam Swamy. He's been closely tracking this case for many, many years now. He's also faced and continues to face several cases against him. Raghav Chadha of the Aam Aadmi Party, Dr. Abhishek Singhvi, spokesperson of the Congress, will be with us shortly. Pinky Anand, the additional Solicitor General, and we'll also be joined by Raju Ramchandran, Senior Advocate of the Supreme Court. Dr. Swamy, thanks very much for joining us. Let me come to you first, sir. Is going back to the Supreme Court, a larger bench, the only option that is available to you? Do you believe that realistically you have a chance to overturn what has happened?
Well, I mean, there are other options too. The court has stayed the defamation cases filed by Jayalalitha for 8 weeks, and they have said that I should go to the High Court and get the defamation cases quashed there. So that's my first option. I'll go to the High Court. And these are absurd defamation cases. This is not the first time Jayalalitha has filed defamation cases. I would say if you take the last 20 years, she may have filed close to 60, 70 defamation cases against me and lost all of them. And so these 6 are the remnants. And I'll probably go to the Madras High Court and get it quashed. And if I have any problem with the Madras High Court, I get another excuse to come to the Supreme Court and say that now this matter must go to the Constitution bench rather than the division bench of the Supreme Court.
Dr. Swamy, isn't it strange that today in the Supreme Court, and indeed in this case, you find yourself along with people like Arvind Kejriwal and Rahul Gandhi, some of your most bitter political rivals, but all wanting the same thing, that criminal defamation needs to go. Isn't it a strange irony that you should be united in this manner?
Well, first of all, let me tell you that unlike your channel propagating, it's not Rahul Gandhi who filed the case. The cause list is very clear, and it shows that it is Subramaniam Swamy versus the Union of India, where Kejriwal and Rahul Gandhi have impleaded themselves in the case. They didn't file the case. I filed the case. And so that's why the cause list leads with my name. Now, the fact is that irrespective of whether we are enemies or not, we have a malady in this country that people try to silence opponents by misusing Section 199 of the CRPC, which enables the state, not the person, the state to file a case against the opponents. Now, Jayalalitha has not filed a case against me at all. All these six cases have been filed on a complaint of Jayalalitha, but by the Tamil Nadu government.
Yes.
And the money will be, and lawyers will all be engaged by the Tamil Nadu government. So, I mean, she's free now once she files it. That's a misuse of government money and government laws.
In fact,
and
I wanted
there
to...
is a scope left in the judgment.
Yep. Doctor, I just want to go across to Raju Ramchandran for his views on this. If you look at the case of Jayalalitha, she has filed more than 100 defamation cases against many people, certainly against Subramaniam Swamy. Isn't it a pretty fair argument that politicians and those in power should have the power, these individuals have the power to actually file any cases they want against any individual they seek? Has enough been done by the Supreme Court today to ensure that that doesn't happen?
Vishnu, I think the last part of the judgment takes care of that by giving the option to all the petitioners to move the respective high courts for quashing, for discharge, whatever remedies are available. And there are enough remedies available in the law to look after this aspect when frivolous cases are filed. But on the larger issue, is criminal defamation constitutional or unconstitutional?
Yes.
I agree with the bottom line of the Supreme Court that criminal defamation falls within the four corners of the Constitution. There can be debate on some nuances in the judgment, whether the provisions of Section 499 need to have been read down to make the Supreme Court's view consistent with its own views on civil defamation, because right now a reading of the judgment would indicate that the threshold of criminal defamation now seems to be lower, since the Supreme Court in the case of civil defamation more than 20 years back had said things like no fault defamation would be unconstitutional. So there should have been some reading down, but the bottom line that criminal defamation is constitutional, I think, is absolutely correct.
Raghav Chadda, I find it a strange irony that on the one hand, Arvind Kejriwal would seek criminal defamation being removed. That's obviously not worked out. On the other hand, your party has been, in 2015, threatening people left, right and center with criminal defamation. You issued a circular threatening media houses in 2015. So why this double standard?
Well, Vishnu, a couple of things. First of all, the Supreme Court has upheld the constitutional validity of criminal defamation. Certainly, the Supreme Court in its wisdom has taken a call, but the implementation of the law also needs to be considered. Whether the law is now being implemented or being carried out or being used by certain powerful people to curb dissent or to prevent bona fide criticism is also something that we need to see. Now, there are a couple of points that I would like to make. First, certainly, is that as far as the government of Delhi is concerned, I acknowledge that we had issued that circular, but No such case has ever been filed by the government or by any of my party colleagues. That's one. Point number two, the criminal defamation is a colonial law. It was introduced on the statute books even before India had a constitution or a democracy. It was conceptualized and introduced by the British to protect the interest of the British Raj, that is the state,
not of an individual or a private entity. Doesn't the Aam Aadmi Party have double
standards? Various countries.
On the one hand, you yourself, Raghav, have a defamation case against you. On the other hand, Arvind Kejriwal is fighting to ensure that defamation is removed. Criminal defamation was removed. Your party has also gone and challenged media houses, saying that we are going to charge you with criminal defamation. So which side of the divide are you on?
Well, okay, as far as we are concerned, as far as me and my party colleagues are concerned, no amount of defamation cases can harass or intimidate us.
But
or
it's
will,
okay
deter
to harass and intimidate
from
others.
In bona fide criticism,
it is okay for
or
your party to
or,
harass
or
and intimidate
the
media
system.
And issue
we have
circulars.
Not, Vishnu challenge. Please tell me which channel, which media house or which individual against which we have filed
a defamation
case.
Did you not issue a circular
in
2015 threatening media houses with criminal action?
You see, I am not the spokesperson of the government of NCT of Delhi. I am the spokesperson of the Aam Aadmi Party. I can comment on the conduct
of my political
party.
That's a very criminal fine line. That's a very thin fine line at this stage on this issue.
And we have not filed any defamation case.
Well,
but the larger point that I'm trying to raise, that we have seen in this country, how the accused are mount a legal defense. Have been asked to go to court every now and then and face a defamation trial only because they indulge in bona fide criticism.
Unfortunately, you haven't put a case against. These individuals would be thinking exactly the same thing. But let me go across to Pinky Anand. Pinky, isn't this at one level absolutely wonderful what the Supreme Court has done for the reason that we are in an age when online abuse is a reality we have to accept? There are people who threaten people, who abuse people, who say whatever they want. Had the Supreme Court overturned the laws, wouldn't it have been easier for people online to continue trolling and to continue abusing?
No, you're right, Vishnu. Actually, we are coming to a time where, you know, with the increasing internet and other virtual world reality, we're having a situation which is highly possible to be abusive and to threaten and to otherwise intimidate people. And ultimately, you know, when this was being talked about, that this law was made in the British times, no doubt the penal law was made then. But the Constitution specifically recognizes in Article 19.2 that a law of defamation can be made by the state and would be valid. So, you know, here you have an entire circumference of saying a person's reputation is equally important to the fundamental right of speech. And in fact, defamation is an exception to this, A. And B, I must add to this, that you have 9 exceptions to Section 499 IPC, which save issues which are not defamatory and which allow issues on good faith to be said. Yes. So there are principally exceptions to the law of defamation also, A. And B, when you have a situation where your reputation is being besmirched, and this includes, by the way, media and all also today, the law, in fact, the judgment has considered even what is the effect, whether journalists have a special right to be able to say whatever they can. But a person's reputation can be sullied at the drop of a hat by a few sentences which are said, and the way people respond to it, the way people are watching, the way people are communicating, you would have a situation which would be totally dastardly. So the upholding of a law is one part which is very important to ensure that the freedom of speech is freedom of speech only and not the freedom of bad speech, so to say, if I may use that expression, one. And secondly, you have safeguards built into the system. And thirdly, what we need and which is being done is that the courts are exercising their discretion as and when a judgment, an order, let's say, of summoning is bad. For example, a case is not made out and summons are, issued by the magistrate. It is subject, yes. So therefore, you have an entire scheme. So the whole scheme has to withstand, and we should be able to withstand such a situation when defamation has been upheld in civil law, when defamation is upheld in criminal law.
Yes.
And I think therefore the judgment is a very welcome step in this entire evolution of saying we do have a speech right, but we also have a right to be decent.
Okay, that's important. Dr. Singhvi, you were on the winning side today. In other words, defamation cases in particular instances, you would argue, particularly in the case that you represented, are important. On the other hand, you've got your political side as well. Rahul Gandhi faces defamation cases. So how do you reconcile the differences, you as a political leader and you as a lawyer representing Amit Sibal in this particular case?
I think there is no contradiction if you understand the nature of the proceeding. The first mistake we are making is this is only a judgment about the constitutional validity or otherwise of Section 499. That's a basic point which we cannot forget. In other words, 499 as framed is constitutionally valid or not is the question the court addressed. And I think perfectly rightly and understandably, it came to the conclusion that it is valid. It did so for two important reasons which have to be looked at and can't be ignored. It was not concerned with the facts of individual cases. The two important reasons were, one, the very concept of reputation. Reputation is everything. A person works all his life for reputation. For most people, it is above money, above prosperity, above family, above everything. So reputation, the judgment traces from ancient times up to modern times in all literature, legal and non-legal, ancient and contemporary, is the most vital attribute of a human personality. And second, that reputation, defamation is not merely civil. Criminal defamation protects public interest and is not meant for individual interest. That is a finding which the court rightly gave. If you add up those two, they simply held that despite the provision of 499 being valid, it is entirely open for each one of us, whether it's a Dr. Subramanian Swamy or Amit Sibal, whom I represented against AAP or other people, or for that matter, Mr. Rahul Gandhi, to go and prove in the individual case that he has not done anything which amounts to criminal defamation. Okay. Criminal defamation on the facts of a case has to be something gross. Okay. It has to be something which is not
Dr. Swamy, I think
bona fide and not in the public interest. Dr. So Swamy, that remand, just one second more, that remand remains for each litigant to prove in the appropriate trial court or high court, and that will be decided on the facts of the case. That's all that the Supreme Court decided.
Dr. Swamy, the bottom line, you are possibly the most outspoken national leader anywhere today. And today, while you do argue that the Supreme Court has, and you said this earlier on, 80% protected the interests that you seek, the question I want to ask you is that are you now going to tone down your accusations or how you target political leaders or issues? Or are we going to see the same Subramanian Swamy continue to argue in the same feisty manner?
Yes, you'll see the same, because I've won every defamation case, whether it's filed by Jayalalitha or Mr. Jethmalani or Ram Krishna Hegde. All of them, they've all lost defamation cases against me. I never make a charge unless I have really done the homework. Just not, all my charges have got to do with corruption and misuse of public office. It's got nothing to do with their personal habits and not lack of it. So I would, it would make no difference. But I think ideologically I felt that the international movement and our commitment to the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, which we signed in 1977, have mandated that criminal prosecution for your freedom of expression is wrong. And sending people to jail because they said something which is defamatory is wrong. And the United States has long given it up. And the British, whose laws we are now implementing, they've also given it up in 2013.
You believe this judgment is regressive? I mean, that's what you're saying, sir.
I think that judgment is status quo. And he has added some safeguards, which are welcome. And therefore, I'll use that and I'll find another opportunity to go back to the Supreme Court and this time demand a constitutional
Okay, Dr. Singhvi, you had a point to make, sir. Go ahead.
No, the point I was making was that it is entirely possible, and that's the point being missed out, I think, because people view the judgment as criminal defamation is right or wrong. It doesn't decide that at all. I think there are many facts, and I'd agree with Dr. Swamy, that there may be cases where there are egregious invocation in a mala fide manner of criminal defamation. And I find that mostly courts have struck the right balance in individual cases, striking it down, whether it be in a 482 quashing petition, which lawyers call a quashing petition, or it be in other applications of discharge. For example, you know, you say something in the public interest, which is part of the public discourse or a political campaign, and somebody starts filing criminal defamation, yeah. I don't find any case where people have actually been hauled up. So I think the difference between eliminating criminal defamation altogether from the statute book versus proving it to be wrong in individual cases is the crux of this judgment. Okay. I think it's absolutely right to suggest, as the court has held, that to eliminate it altogether is to take away a very valuable safeguard of protection of the reputation of an individual. And when our founding fathers discussed freedom of speech, on which the entire argument of the challengers like the Aam Aadmi Party or the Dr. Swami is based, when they framed the constitution in 1901A, the debates are clear that although 1901A is a precious right, freedom of speech is a precious right, a reasonable restriction on freedom of speech is deemed to be defamation. And when they used the word defamation, they made absolutely no difference between civil and criminal defamation.
Okay,
and the court said that we are not here to engraft an artificial caveat on that.
Mr. Ramachandran, should there be or should there have been perhaps different standards when it comes to politicians? There is so much that is said in our political campaigns, in election speeches, in other speeches by politicians, and that in a sense defines the heart of our democracy. And yet, if you apply the same rules of defamation during, say, an election campaign, then aren't you taking away from a fundamental part of our freedom of expression?
I'd like to add something on this.
That is taken Dr. Swami, care half of a by second, the language I'll come of Section 499 itself.
To Mr. Fair Ramachandran comment, first. Yes. Yes, Mr.
fair
Ramachandran.
Criticism.
Yeah. Mr. Ramachandran,
yes.
Yeah.
Section 499 itself takes care of such situations. Fair comment, fair criticism, all that would be taken care of. I don't think politicians are affected in any manner by the operation of this provision. Two other important points I wish to make, Vishnu, which haven't received the attention of anyone, either in the court or in the course of the debate which has followed. One is that the law of criminal defamation is necessary for the protection of the rights of the media itself. You as a journalist can be inhibited from fearlessly performing your duty because you are getting viciously trolled by someone. Now, should you or should you not have an effective remedy? You can't be asked to go and file a civil suit and pay court fees on that. To protect your right of freedom of expression itself, the law of defamation is necessary. Secondly, today, the most vulnerable section are the women, women in professions, who are the subject of defamation about how they get along in their careers. About women politicians are the most vulnerable, so are women journalists. Now, for the protection of this most vulnerable section, again, the only effective remedy is the criminal law.
Dr. Swami, you wanted to comment, sir?
Yes, I just want to say that the Supreme Court of India in 1994 had reversed the burden of proof for politicians. They said politicians have access to media and they can deny a charge and challenge the defamer to prove it, and the public opinion would help him on that. So they said that there should be a different standard for those in public life, and they reversed the burden of proving on the public person. Now that same thing could have been done in this defamation matter, but the Supreme Court did not touch it, even though I argued the matter that as a alternative, he could reverse the burden on political people filing defamation cases by making them prove that the charge was not true.
Yeah.
And therefore, unlike the law at present, that where the onus is on the accuser.
Yeah. Pinky, you want to come in there, because I think that's an important point that Dr. Swami makes, that a person can be prosecuted even if they have actually spoken the truth according to the laws which the court has upheld today. The argument of that the truth is a fundamental defense, has that in a sense, is that weaker today than it was earlier?
Not at all. Not at all. I think, Vishnu, we are really going the wrong way forward, because what the judgment ultimately does is not to go into What is defamation? What should be a defense to defamation? What constitutes in a given fact the prosecution itself? The only question is whether defamation should remain on the statute book as a valid law, or is it invalid or unconstitutional? That was the ultimate discussion, and it is a welcome step. Look, you provide law in order to provide the contours of the rights of the individual and the state, how the state and the individual and the individual and the individual on one side should coexist. And while dealing with this, the ultimate upholding of the entire law is that you have a fundamental right of reputation, you have a fundamental right of the state to have this sharing of reputation, which the court has really evolved as a theory, and yep. is a very welcome step. On contouring of any given law, you will have it from time to time. The courts will step in, there will be jurisprudence to say these are the given facts, or what should be the exception, should it be different for politicians, should it not be different for politicians, should it be different for individuals. For example, there's always a divide between public and private. There is always this divide on defamation itself. So you have several divides. I think, but this is a wider contouring of the right which has been upheld. Yeah. And it is high time that we as a society realize that it is not good enough to say we have fundamental rights. We have a fundamental right, but we also have a fundamental duty to others who have a right. And that is what the whole meaning of this defamation
I think it's
law
all,
would be.
I think it's all about accountability. Our own accountability towards ourselves, accountability of others towards themselves and to us, and respect. I think that's what is fundamental. Perhaps we see too little of that. I'd like to thank all of you very much for joining us. Raghav, sorry, we've completely out of time. But an important verdict by the Supreme Court, criminal defamation laws do remain in our country. That is to ensure, the Supreme Court has said, that the fundamental respect is that an individual, a citizen enjoys, remains one way or the other. Thanks very much for being with us. Goodbye.